Dragon Ball is dead.
Nano, why bring yourself to screen, bro? Because we're not here to discuss any good news, bro. Like, this is not good news. This is bad news.
Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Dragon Ball might actually be dead.
I have heard, Nano, and I wouldn't say I'm upset. I fully understand, but yes, very recently a tweet went out, which this is Dragon Ball news, Nano. This could very easily out. Like, tomorrow, in Dragon Ball news, things happen fast and things happen false, okay? This could just all be not true tomorrow, but as of today, a tweet went out. Do you have the tweet in front of you? Maybe you just read it out for us. Yeah, read it out for us.
News. Victory Uchida, the editor of V-Jump, has confirmed that Dragon Ball Super Manga will not return in 2025, and the fans need to remain patient.
Oh, as soon as I read that last line, I'm sure he didn't mean it like this, but I knew people were gonna be pissed. People are like, patient, it's been 6 years. But no, Nana, what was your initial reaction to the news?
Well, so I wake up because, you know, I slept in a little bit with a text from old Dada Doya.
Oh, right. My bad. I forgot I was the one to break the news.
You're the one that broke the news, man.
My bad. My bad. I didn't mean to wake you up with that.
You said, pack it up, bro. It's over.
Okay. Admittedly, I'm not a very subtle guy, but
yeah.
My feelings were hurt. That's honestly, hurt people. That's my bad.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. No, my immediate reaction to this is no surprise. All right. Like, I won't lie. Listen, people be saying we're like, again, from a general audience standpoint that isn't like super deep into the Dragon Ball stuff, they're like, y'all literally just got an anime. But like, the thing is, and like, not to be that like bratty kid on Christmas morning that really wanted the PlayStation but got the Xbox, but like, Daima was not what I think most fans wanted. So it's like, even though we did just get that, it's kind of like,
now you're coming in with some hot stuff, bro. Like, now, whoa.
Hey man, it is a podcast, dude. I gotta farm the comments somehow, man. You know what I mean? Like,
you gotta get your controversial moment in there somewhere. For me, it's like, Daima was cool, and I don't discount it. It's just that the super manga is a different thing.
It has
been equally like a very long time. Now, I do want to say, because when we talk about this, people, yes, the passing of Akira Toriyama obviously is affecting this in major ways behind the scenes, with probably like legal, like there's a million, honestly, you could say a million different things are happening behind the scenes, and I would probably believe you. Rights battles, like, how do you honor that? How do you do that? Like, nerves, things like this. Toyotaro is doing his own like little one shot right now. It's like, bro, I get it, but you know, it's just equally. I'm going to be honest. Did I think it was coming back in 2025? No. Did I think it was coming
That's
back at all?
It's no surprise.
Probably not. No, it's no surprise. In a way, this is positive news. They at least addressed it.
That's pretty cool. You already said this too. This literally tomorrow, it could say, wait, this was a translation error. Or wait, this guy doesn't even know what they're talking about. Not confirmed anymore. But
yeah, tomorrow it could literally be like, director says, like, the Super's coming back tomorrow. Fans need to be patient.
Like, I would much rather, though, just them get out ahead of it. Like, I think that's the thing that frustrates me the most with a lot of, you know, covering the news of this stuff, is that we've discussed this so many times lately. Like, every podcast has kind of been about different Dragon Ball Super related announcements, but there was like an announcement for an announcement, right? They'd be doing this announcements for announcement type shit. And that is so deflating. I would rather them just be like, hey, look, y'all, we ain't got no shit this year. Like, we ain't got nothing this year. Like, just pack it up. We'll see you guys in 2026. Now, Dotto, I don't want to throw like a wrench into this at all. Okay.
Okay.
Not to hit with a bit of a curveball, but this is important to bring up while we're discussing this specifically. But did you see the Dragon Ball Super account, the official Dragon Ball Super account, that tweeted with the hashtag DBS2025?
No, I did not.
Wait, you didn't see this?
No, what? I don't even know what it could have possibly been about.
Dotto, take a little gander at that tweet I just sent you, brother. Super Saiyan God Goku confronts Beerus in an incredible battle, an unforgettable moment from Dragon Ball Super's very first saga. Join us in celebrating 10 years of Dragon Ball Super and share your favorite moments in the comments. Hashtag Dragon Ball Super. Hashtag DBS 2025. Hashtag DBS.
Yeah, this is desperation, bro. Calling this news calling this news is desperation, and exactly why this shit is dead, bro. Because like this is why people react like this, bro. Because
Hashtag DBS 2025, baby. What are you talking about, man?
It's gone, bro. It's not happening.
Hashtag
it's
not DBS happening. 2025.
This is from Toei Animation EU, by the way. I see no news is ever going to break from the EU fucking account of anything.
Dude, you don't know this, man. They might be saying some stuff over there. They don't know.
They don't know, bro. That's why they combined hashtag DB Super and hashtag Goku into one word, so it didn't even become a hashtag, bro. Like, they don't know. That's exactly what I'm trying to say, bro. Is like, how can we take this at its word?
No, I will say that I like obviously am always going to be here for like news and stuff on the anime, and it's inevitable. Probably end at this point, but. I'm kidding. It will probably come back at some point. Just who knows if it's in my lifetime. The thing is, I'm kind of chilling, right? I'm kind of chilling right now. I mean, I'm a little thirsty. You know, like I could use a sip of some Dragon Ball Super, but at the same time, like I think it's been 8 years, and so I'm just kind of, or sorry, 7 years, and so it's just kind of
done. You're
like
done.
Like, it just is what it is. Like I don't know, man. Until I am seated to genuinely dead ass watch like episode one of the Moro arc at some point, and it's literally in my face, and it's on an official like service or something. Like it ain't real. You know what I like? They could come out and announce it tomorrow, and like I'm still gonna have my skepticisms about it because it's like I don't know. I would put money on the fact that we are getting. Hang on, you want to make a key moments bet here? I don't even know if key moments will last long enough to get to this bet to even be to fruition. But do you think we get one or two more movies before the anime returns?
Oh, God. Zero. Zero more movies, bro. I don't want to see no more movies. They're not doing...
No, but like, how many more movies do you think they're doing?
The anime, returns or just the manga?
No. The anime. I'm saying how many movies before the anime's back. Not the... I know this is a manga-related discussion, but...
I'm still going to stake zero. I still think that the manga's going to come back, and then they're going to like start redoing like an anime or something. Or unless they just move on to completely movie.
Redoing does not count. It has to be, I'm saying like Dragon Ball Super's continuation. It needs
to be. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying like they're doing the anime of Moro. Or like something like that from the manga.
I'm about to put this down in our key moments like bet tracker. You think
there will be
movies.
No more movies? They're not making any more movies.
Dude, you lost your mind. What?
I think everything on there is frozen. It's done. It's finito. It is frozen solid. Zero chance. I think there's a higher chance we see Daima 2 before we see the anime come back. But I think even Daima 2 is a higher chance than another original movie. You got to be out of your mind, bro. They can't do it, bro. There's zero.
Nah.
I doubt it. Dude,
What do we put
seriously,
on this?
What,
steak dinner,
bro,
on this at least?
I will put three steak dinners on it. Because you got to think, bro. Every single movie, what do they say? Oh, we got this seedling of an idea from Akira Toriyama. They will not do anything original before anything that they already have like based in like either Toriyama's old ideas, anything that got his slight approval. They're going to go through that. Even I'll even give that to continuing Daima, but they are not going to come up with their own unique character, own unique story, own unique continuation for a movie, bro. Like that makes zero sense.
Nah,
they would never.
You're about to get dunked on. So I'm bookmarking this. I'll retweet it later, dog.
And you should honestly, you should, because I'm going to be so confused that day. What do you mean you had to freeze everything for 6 years? And instead of like, okay, let's get back on the bike, guys. Let's like carry on from where we are. And then some guy's going to walk in with like, I have a good Yamoshi script. It's like, bro, shut the fuck. What do you mean Yamoshi script? We are going to do what we already have. Why would we do something new? Oh my god, that would be an insane decision. But it's Dragon Ball, so it equally makes
sense. I'm telling you, dog, we get at least one more movie before the anime comes. I'm telling you.
Oh my god,
honestly, what do you think
the movie's gonna be? What do you think the movie's gonna be about, Nano?
I almost want to take another notch and say we'll get a movie before the manga returns. I almost want to go one more level and say we get a movie before the manga.
I'm so glad we disagree, bro. Because like I have zero. What is the movie gonna be about, Nano? Where are they getting the movie from?
Dude, we have absolutely no, like, again, everything around Toriyama is very secretive. We have no idea what kind of different things that he's, like, sitting on over there. And, like, you know, I'm a huge Linkin Park fan, right? And
holy curveball.
Never in a million years could have I have thought that I would get the present that was lost. Like, that was insane. It was this track that was fully finished, fully produced, and it was supposed to originally replace Numb on Meteora back in 2003, but the band thought it sounded so similar to Numb that they literally kept Numb instead. They chose to keep Numb instead and told no one about having Lost just sitting there. And back in 2023, for the 20th anniversary of Meteora, dropped this fully produced song with Chester on it that literally was the style. It was literally fit to be on Meteora's album. That was like the best gift musically I think I'll ever get in my entire lifetime. That was just like sitting there. I would, if someone told me we were getting another Meteora track that actually sounded like was fully produced, fully mastered, fully finished, I would have said, you're crazy. There's no way. And then boom, it just appeared. So like, we have absolutely no idea what kind of like different drafts and designs and stuff that I'm, because Toriyama was an artist, man. I'm sure there's so many characters and things that we've never been like presented or seen that he's just like scribbled on papers and this and that have been followed and logged away. Like, dog, I bet you there are so many different stories that he wasn't able to tell that he has just like beginnings of that they're like, we're making a movie out of this. I'm so for real. I believe in it.
I would be down to see that stuff. Why would they go look for scribbles when they have like pre-approved stuff to work with? That's what I'm thinking.
Because the rights battle, man. But between them, but Toei could go over there and be like, I guess that is true.
I don't understand the rights battle. The rights are crazy, but I mean, they got Daima. They have the Daima stuff.
Yeah, but see, the more we found out, I'm sure someone was mad at me earlier when I made my Daima comment, because they're like, disgracing Toriyama's last work, but we found more and more that it sounds like that was a little marketing. It sounds like that was a little more marketing than it was like, real. So
we've talked about this, bro. I always think whenever, and this was like when he was alive, it just like, I always think like that is a very common marketing trope, is like overselling how much. Even if he like was very involved, I think marketing is always going to oversell how very involved.
Because they know that means a lot to us. Like 100%.
It does, yeah.
They understand that means a lot to us. Dotto, so speaking of Toitaro and something we've not discussed here on the podcast, is we now know about his new manga, his one shot, The Last Samurai. Sorry, Lost Samurai. What are your thoughts? I went to Twitter and some people misunderstood what I was saying. I think some people thought I was being, because I saw a lot of people on the internet that were mad that it wasn't Dragon Ball Super, and a lot of people came to his defense of like, man, let the dude do what he wants to do. And I went to Twitter using, you know, a classic for me right now. I'm really stuck on using freaking Jeremy Allen White, like the bear reactions for tweets, just because like, dude, that dude just like his reactions in that show just fit so much of how I react to stuff that I read on the internet. And all I was reacting to was because this was the news of like the translation was, you know, it's not going to be Dragon Ball Super related. Then it was, oh, it is going to be Dragon Ball Super related. And then finally it wasn't. It's about his new one shot. How you feeling? Are you like everyone else that's like mad it's not Dragon Ball Super? Or are you on the other side? You're like, let this man do what he wants to do.
I mean, I don't really care. The truth is like, bro, they probably like, like, I don't know if they're still paying him while they're taking a break. So like, if he wants to do something else, like, he should. There's nothing else
that's
going
on.
That's
a good point. This man's probably not making money while you can't make.
Yeah, like I don't know how it's working over there, but I can't fault a person for doing something when there's nothing else. That even if he is getting paid, might as well he's an artist, might as well draw something else. Since nothing else going on, I I am on the side. It's like, it's crazy that Rights Battles is making this happen. Like, we have somebody to work on this big property, but no, like, I'll read it. You know, I might as well read it.
Same.
I was seeing from the drafts, though, it seemed a bit like basic. It seemed a little more like a hero goes saves princess kind of thing. But I'll tap in. It's only 40 pages, bro. I can pay attention for that long.
I liked the logo having the sort of gear as the O on Lost. And I'm here for it. I agree with you. I guarantee this man is probably sitting on the entire Black Frieza arc at this point. He's like, I might as well get ahead. Like, and then I could just submit these and get paid. I, again, have absolutely no idea how any of that works with him being like, you know, working on that stuff and having not technically made a new chapter outside of the one-off for Goten and Trunks a few months ago since 2023. Is that when Superhero wrapped up? When was the last Superhero chapter? Early 2024?
I don't know, because I didn't even read it.
Yeah, you did. We did on here on the podcast.
Oh, you mean like the not counting? I thought you were saying counting that one. But yeah, no, I don't. It's been so long, I don't remember.
And Dotto, piggybacking up off of the Toys for Our discussion with Lost Samurai, did you see the interview? Did you read any of the interview that they were able to?
No.
Okay. So just a couple of highlights here that I wanted to bring up. One specifically is one that you've talked about on this podcast before, but he says, Dragon Ball success lies in a story that is simple in a good way. When there's a fight, there's no need to read a block of text to understand. This makes the series accessible to everyone, no matter who you are or where you live in the world. The simplicity of the work is its strength, which you've said multiple times on this podcast about, like, Toriyama's manga panel specifically just being so easy to follow. And just his, like, design work is, like, a masterclass in that.
I'll always say that, bro. The paneling is pretty good. I don't think Toyotaro panels as well. But Toriyama was killing that shit.
Yeah. I thought I would bring that up specifically because it was something that you discussed before. His favorite character is Granola, because when he drew him and presented him to Toriyama, he immediately said, okay, that's great. Go for it. I'm also very proud of having created Black Frieza. Are you a Granola fan?
I mean, I'll step in and say, I think I didn't read this, but I like skimmed it. Everything Toyotaro said was pretty base. Like, Granola is really cool. I can see why Toriyama liked him, because as soon as I saw Granola, I was like, that is sick. So that's another check mark. That was a good call.
What about Black Frieza?
I mean, I could take it or leave it. It's whatever. It's just a recolor of Frieza. I think it looks pretty cool.
You're kind of a Frieza hater is what I'm discovering.
I am a Frieza hater, so I literally don't care. Like, he's just a good punching bag, but it's better than Gold Frieza. Like, Gold Frieza was a lot.
When I saw, I didn't know what to think about it first seeing the panels and stuff. And then when I saw him, like, colored and stuff, I actually do really like what he did with the coloring of Frieza. I'm not a Frieza hater. I think... I'm not more of a Cell guy specifically. As far as I was gonna say, I think Frieza's my favorite, but I would have to put Cell above Frieza. But Frieza's definitely my second. I like Frieza quite a lot. But I also like Granola's design too. The other thing too that he mentioned, which I thought was very interesting, was let me read this first. For me, Dragon Ball is the number one manga in the world. I don't think Dragon Ball should end. I'm not alone in working on it. It's the strength of fans around the world that allows this work to continue. As a manga artist, what I would like in the future is to continue evolving and always improve. To have multiple approaches to create funnier manga, to improve my drawing and storytelling skills. That's my goal. Now, I'm not sure if someone extrapolated like this and tried making this up a little bit, but I saw multiple people report on Toyotaro specifically saying that like Dragon Ball can't end because there's basically like a lot of the industry and a lot of like people rely on Dragon Ball to basically like exist and live their lives. Like I think was being a bit hyperbolic with this statement, but it may not be completely inaccurate, was essentially like Dragon Ball not continuing would actually have like a genuine real financial impact on Japan as a whole, which I thought was like that seems a little crazy to say, but we've talked about this multiple times on the podcast. Dragon Ball, as much as I think there's some people that would rather them sunset Dragon Ball because of, you know, Akira Toriyama passing away, it's such a massive IP at this point that it quite literally can't just be sunset, because I think there's a lot of people's like lives and jobs that literally rely on Dragon Ball continuing, which you just, I don't know why I hadn't thought about it that way, but you mentioning Toy Tara has basically not quote unquote worked, at least from a public standpoint, in a year and some change at this point. And so, yeah, I don't know how him getting paid would work
I'm sure he's been doing something. Like, there's no way that
from a public standpoint, 100%, I'm sure he's doing something. But I mean, just like, as far as us seeing like his work publicly,
well, even then, but like he draws like all those like anniversary pictures.
Yes, he does. I just from a more of a probably day to day, week to week thing that
big,
we're seeing,
big project,
like a manga panel or whatever it might be, like or a manga chapter or whatever it might be. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting that he said that again. I don't know if they're, you know, like right there, like, I don't think Dragon Ball should
I don't want people thinking like we're saying like he's a couple months out from creating anniversary Goku and Vegeta pictures for like Tommy's third birthday. Like, I'm sure bro's doing all right.
That's not what I mean either. I just, you say that, I hadn't thought about that, but I just thought it was interesting that he said, again, if those reports were to be correct, that basically like it, there's a lot of people that rely on Dragon Ball essentially to continue. And then he says himself, I don't think Dragon Ball should end. So just a fun little Toy Tara.
Not in 2025. We'll see you in 2026, everybody.
Anyway, Dotto, next up, last Dragon Ball news for the day.
Holy, a lot of Dragon Ball news today.
Yeah. Besides us doing a little bit of the rewatch,
We did
a little bit of rewatch today. We're gonna get to that in just a moment. Have you seen the Breaker season 9 teaser?
No, I haven't. This is okay. So this isn't news. You clickbaited me.
Hang on. You actually have not seen the Breaker?
No, I have not. No. Why are you talking like this is anything to see? This was probably, what is it, a screenshot? Who do they still have working on it over there? Just no way.
Look at what I sent in the Key Moments chat.
This is a Fantastic Four. Teaser?
Fantastic Four is coming to Breakers.
What is this even supposed to stand? Oh, cooler? Is that
it definitely appears to be cooler, yeah. Because it looks like the symbol on the cooler squadron, and then so it's the three cooler squadron members and then cooler.
Look, not to sound too harsh, but we're getting to the point of money laundering when it comes to Breakers. Like, this is There's just no way.
I don't understand how that game is still ongoing. Like, nobody really plays that game. I've been saying this for months. I need to get my platinum on that game, because if I don't, that game is not going to be up for my, like, I don't, like, how long do you think they let that game live without it having a decent concurrent, like, active player base?
Well, it's already, I'm wrong. It's already been way longer. Like, it's already been so much longer than I ever could have expected. Now,
I got to ask, Dotto, are we going to get a cooler video? Me and you and Iron King and hop on Breakers and play?
No, probably not, bro. I think my age of this Dragon Ball game is dead is over, dog. It's like, how could it be, bro? Like, it just keeps going.
But the thing is, like, you got to think about the core community of that game. They love to see the Dotto Doya videos pop up for that game specifically. Right?
It is fun. I look, I'm not a Breakers hater, by the way. I feel like I should say that. It's just, I can't believe it. I actually can't believe it.
I mean, I don't think any of us can. I don't think any of us can. Dotto. No, I don't want to spend too much time on Breakers. I'm not trying to have everybody click off the video that fast. So we'll move on.
Oh, you're hating.
I also do like that game quite a bit. I may or may not be petitioning to have it be a squad video over on the squad YouTube channel, but
Nano has been trying to move mountains, guys. He's been really trying to convince people.
The polls are tough.
Nano's been really trying to get some political power in the squad channel to make this happen. I'm not gonna lie, full disclosure, I was happy we did not. I'm a GiggleTuber guy, bro. As soon as we can play a GiggleTuber game, like, I'll take that every single day.
Yeah, bro's over here like, wait, Peak? Yeah, let's just play Peak. Like, you're...
I did unfortunately miss Peak, but I would rather play Peak, yeah. Or, like, the Mario stuff we
Peak,
did.
Peak was definitely a more fun game than Breakers, yeah. I'll stand by that. Fairly easily said that Peak is a more fun game than Breakers. But I don't think Breakers is as bad as a lot of the squad members want to think that it is. But that's neither here nor there. Dotto, you saw Superman, dude. What are you, how you feeling?
I'll say that, no spoilers, obviously, don't worry, guys. I felt a few people flinch, but in terms of, like, you know, big movies coming out this summer, I would say my big three were Jurassic Park, Fantastic Four, and Superman, as in what I am excited for, what I would consider other people excited for. I saw Jurassic Park. That was ass. Genuine, horrible.
So I've not got to see that one yet. I'm not gonna see that one yet. But what makes that one so bad? Like, okay, can I get a temperature read on you? How did you feel about Jurassic World, World 2, and World 3?
All right, bro. So here we go. I'm not even that big of a Jurassic Park fan, so I didn't even see most of them. Like, so which one is the Chris Pratt one? Like
He's in all three of those. The first Chris Pratt one is Jurassic World, though, which is easily
that
the best
one I thought
those.
I would say that one I enjoyed. I didn't even go see the other two because I'm not really a big Jurassic Park guy. When I go to Jurassic Park film,
what is your big three of the summer?
As in it's a summer blockbuster, bro. Like, it's a big movie. It was there. But when I see Jurassic Park movies, I'm interested only in the cool dinosaur kills. It's okay. Kind of like a.
Is there not a lot of cool dinosaur kills in this movie?
And no, dude, this one was so fucking lame. Everybody just gets, like, if there is a dinosaur kill, they are unceremoniously just eaten in the lamest way possible. And I think, if I'm thinking correctly, I was going to give a number, but it's like less than 5 kills total.
What?
And each and every one of them is a boring, just that person gets eaten. Like, cartoonishly, it's boring. It was so boring. There's very little dinosaurs in the movie. It's every single human character pissed me off. It was horrible. 1 out of 5 stars. Genuine garbage. I would not want to see it again.
Wow. Okay.
It was very awful to me.
Sorry, we're here to talk about Superman. So that's against Jurassic World slander.
I'm glad I got it off my chest because I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a Superman guy in terms of Superman the character. I think he's very boring. I think he's OP. I think having Kryptonite just shut him down is lame. And I think he, like, makes everybody else on the Justice League, like, redundant. Like, being faster than the Flash, like, is just stupid. But this movie was pretty good. I went in with low expectations, and I walked away pleasantly surprised. Number one thing I was worried about, Nano, and I think we talked about this, but I can't remember. It's made by James Gunn. I thought I was going to roll my eyes at least 7 times in the movie. I was planning on that.
And how many?
Honestly, like 0. I was having a pretty good time. There is a few James Gunn moments. There's a very James Gunn fight scene with Mr. Terrific. And no spoilers, but people that know, I think his name is Mr. Terrific. Oh, I hope I don't lose my card. But that was the most James Gunn moment. And it came out in like a musical fight scene. It was a fight scene set to a song. And I didn't mind that. I mean, it's not my favorite kind of scene. I thought it was just okay, but it was very, I don't think it was Queen. I don't know who exactly the song was made by, but it was what you're thinking of. Okay. Whatever scene you're picturing in your head. Yes, it was that kind
of
scene.
Hang on. Have you seen Shaun of the Dead?
Not in a long time. No.
But do you know what I'm talking about with the jukebox bar scene with Queen playing and they're like slaying all the zombies?
I think I do. It is more, that scene more, though. You are right. It's pretty much exactly that with that exact like kind of tone. It's like fun. I'm having fun. And whatever. Like honestly, not my kindest thing. But it only happens once. And the rest of the humor very much surprised me, Nano. It was all pretty like. I'm not gonna lie. I would compare a few of the. Especially Lex Luthor in comparison, like a smiling friends, like Zach Hadle-esque bit where it's like, it's just like absurdist, I guess is how I'd call it. Lex was very impressive. The evil guy in this movie, because I think on paper, this character was so cringe. Like he was so embarrassing, but the actor that played it did an amazing job. He killed it. It was like, anybody else takes that script, says the same words, I bet you I walk out of there like, holy fuck. I like, why did they do that? But pretty good. I don't want to say any of the bits because I want people to go see them for themselves. But
I feel like
I will also say, I do need to say this, Nano. People have been calling it like super woke. The movie is not afraid to talk. Bro, it was because people were like comparing it to like modern day politics and saying it was on the nose. I think I was talking about this in Squad. I was like, I wonder how on the nose it's going to be. It was pretty on the nose, I will say. It was the first like political message and the big setup for like a problem in the film. It very much is. And when I say this, people are going to be like, nah, I can't be that on those. It very much is based around like the Israel-Palestine conflict. Oh. It very much like straight up, it is extremely on the nose. I thought how much could it really be? No, it pretty much is exactly that. But I thought it was fine. Like, it's not like they're not actually in the movie. They're fake countries. And it's just like, how would Superman react to being in a world like that? So none of that stuff really bothered me. I thought that was pretty good. I will say though, obviously the corniest part of this movie is like how politics and super heroes react. And it's like, or I guess they're called metahumans, but like, I always think it's funny. And this is in every movie. They're like, huh, well, looks like the metahumans run thing instead of us politicians. It's like, bro, the entire city is getting fucking erupted every Tuesday. How do we even have time for politics in this world? It's like, what are we even talking about, dog? Like, it's the same shit with like Invincible, like how people like try to like walk and live a life in the Invincible world. It's like, what? How do you live here? It's just constant explosions. I'm trying to think. Oh, the only other like funny comment about the movie is, and I don't know if family movies have changed, but I'm trying to think of the last like blockbuster I've seen. It would have to be like a Marvel movie.
Well, wait, but you just said you saw Jurassic Park, dude, or Jurassic World.
Yeah, but this, it wasn't like this in Jurassic World. So that's what I'm saying is like, I described this on stream, but the seed, it sounds crazy to say, cause it sounds like something a homophobic person would say, only I'm talking about straight people, but Lois Lane and Clark Kent and like Superman have kissing scenes. They were going at it, bro. Like I was sitting in my seat. I was like, this is a lot. Like, do family movies do this? Like, I'm a straight guy myself, Nano, but they were getting into it, dog. Like, I don't know if it was just me. A few people in my stream chat were saying like, no, I kind of see what you're saying. But like, bro, they were fucking making out, dog. Like, full on, like Clark was grabbing some ass, dude. Like he was grabbing her ass, like lifting her up. I'm like, what is going on, dude? I was like, they're going crazy.
I've been seeing a lot of the like, sort of pre build up to the movie coming out, and everyone's been losing their minds over the chemistry these two have. So you saying that, and I always think about like, If like my wife was an actress, if I could,
no,
like,
dude,
I don't think like, yes, they're acting, but if I saw a sequence like what you're saying right now, I'd be like, were you acting
I literally said that on my stream. Is like, I was like, first of all, I don't know if I could like handle dating an actress. You know, I'm a jealous guy type shit. Like that's on me, but like, past a certain point, and this movie would be the point, dog. It's like, I don't care. You weren't fucking acting, dog. Like that. There's no way fucking like James Gunn was sitting behind the camera like, could you cup a little more ass there, Clark? Like in this scene, Superman would definitely want to get a handful. It's like, no, bro. Like, I don't think this, like, this wasn't in the script. This wasn't in the script. They probably like had like make out or kiss. Maybe passionately was written. But, like, I don't know, bro. Like, this wasn't in the script.
It felt like more than that. Like, these two felt like they were soulmates type shit, like, on the screen.
like they were just going at it, bro.
You'd be kind of, like, sweating for him. You're like...
Well, what's crazy is like the actual.
Should we get out of here? Like, are they having like?
What's crazy is maybe this is minor spoilers, bro. But the characters in the script, like, they're not even that passionate about each other. Like, they'll be having a normal couple relationship, maybe a small argument. And it's like, it's like, bro, I don't know if that's the scene, bro. Like, I really don't. I really am confused on that one. But and they make jokes about it in the movie too. Like, they're like, what? How long have they been hooking up? It's like, I feel like they added that line in post. Like, I feel like that line wasn't there, and then like they saw the rest of the movie and said like, maybe we can make a joke about this.
Have you seen? Seen the video of them like nose to nose, forehead to forehead, and shit? Have you seen this?
No, what video is this?
Wait. I gotta get Donald's reaction to this. Hang on.
I just want to know because I went into the movie just for that, and I was really surprised by that. Like, it went on so long, dude. And maybe I'm straight phobic. You know, maybe I'm being straight phobic. I actually, like, I don't know, dude. But like, I was, Also, I will say the beginning of the movie, I did think dragged a little bit. So maybe that's also why, because I was like, are we really going to spend this long on them making out? But after the beginning of the movie, it doesn't drag. And then, you know, not as many makeout scenes. So
I thought I'm
waiting for what you're going to show me. I need to see, because like this is going to really like maybe like embolden my views here.
All right.
All right, forehead to forehead and then just breathing in and out 7 times.
Come down to my level.
No, I have to have good posture.
I can't reach that high. Okay. Wait, in or out first?
I don't think we have to be that synchronized.
Yeah, this is not acting, dog. Like, what?
Yeah. So, you see in... By the way, this is just promo for the movie. Dog.
This is not acting, dog. Like, this is not even acting.
Dude, I
like, a comment just popped up on you watching their poor spouses.
Yeah, exactly.
Effect where both of your eyes become one eye.
You have two somehow. I feel cross-eyed though.
You gotta look through me, not at me.
I can't.
Yeah, you just got one big beautiful green eye.
Blue.
It's cool. What?
Dog.
Yeah, eye dog. Yeah. Eye. Yeah,
like, what?
Yeah.
What are we talking about dog. Here, man? I saw that. I was like, like, I don't know.
That would piss me off.
They're married, regardless, because like they're not them two together, but they are married to their all. They have their they're not just in casual relationships. These people are married individuals.
Like, I get it, bro. Like, I am a jealous type. I'm not saying that's right or that whatever is wrong in acting. I will say acting maybe like in the movie in the script. But like in marketing material, like bro, what are we talking? Marketing material?
I don't really feel like I'm that jealous of a human being, but like I think there's a line at some point. Like, holy, like, what the fuck?
Like, come on, bro. Like, after the movie, I still would have been pissed, but in the marketing material, dog, I'm pissed.
yeah, come you're like, on the wait, marketing. I thought y'all were done, dog. Like, what do you? Because they wrapped that movie like months ago, and now they're doing build up, and they're like. Y'all are doing it again. Like, what are we doing, man? Like, yeah, that's how I'd be. Anywho, so wait, key moments. Does a rating scale? Where are you putting Superman on 1 through 10?
I would say a solid 8. You know, I walked out pretty happy. It didn't solve any of my issues with the character Superman. I do have to keep saying that because, I want to see it.
How was? Sorry, briefly. No spoilers, but how was Green Lantern? Did you like Green Lantern?
I'm a big Green Lantern guy, so yeah, I did like him.
How's Hot Girl? I didn't realize Hot Girl was Dina from Last Hot of Us.
Not gonna lie, I didn't either, and it bothered me for a little bit. I was like, where do I know her from? But Hot Girl was kind of like boring as shit. I'm not gonna lie, she was kind of useless. Not even the actress. Like if like her playing Hot Girl, I thought was fine. But she doesn't do shit, and also she does like a hawk scream at one point, and that was the most embarrassing part of the movie, I think, to me. everything else, like the way she played the character was fine. No, like her coming back, her doing more with the character, all fine. But she does a hawk scream. I think we cut that part, bro. Like maybe I'm wrong. I don't know much about Hawk Girl as a superhero. But if there's a way, like I'm with the making comic books more comic booky, more funny, more humorous. But maybe the hawk scream was a little too far.
Okay, 8 out of 10. I hopefully I'm going to see this very soon. And then I can maybe give my verdict on it. Dotto, I don't want to talk too much on this because I may have already talked about it once before. But right now, the movie to top for me is F1, dog. F1, as far as like my summer blockbuster things I've seen, like that is the movie to top. And I don't think they will. It was Hans Zimmer, Brad Pitt, Cars. Like it's just the guy that directed Top Gun Maverick. Like it's just it's too much, man. It's too much.
I am gonna see it purely off of how much you've glazed it.
It's and, not just me either, though. Did you hear Balvin glazing it too?
Yes, that is true.
Toasty was glazing too.
I mean Toasty, you know, Toasty has some good taste, I will say. So
cool, man. Of all the
if
three,
y'all are glazing,
Toasty,
I'm gonna give right. it I'm gonna well, I'm just being honest, bro. Like I'm just being real with you. But that could be I haven't given what you guys have said a chance. Maybe you guys are also based. Real quick though, no. Before we move on, real quick, are you excited for Fantastic Four? Where does that rank for you?
So I am excited for Fantastic Four. I think that it's gonna be a good time. I just, man, dude, I don't know. I don't know. Marvel for me is in a very, we've talked about this many times on this podcast, but Marvel for me is in like a very weird space where I do want to go see this movie, but I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird. I like Fantastic Four. I love the Fantastic Four we got while I was growing up with, you know, Chris Evans and Jessica Alba and all that. Like that Fantastic Four, I really liked that Fantastic Four personally. I've not watched it in a while now, so, but I'm sure, yeah. And I did not watch that one we got a few years ago. I watched it. Brandon was watching it in the living room at one point while I was doing something like working on YouTube or something. I walked through a couple times, and I remember I logged through it like an hour and 20 minutes into that movie, and they are just got suits on or something. And I was like, wait, did they just now get powers? She's like, yeah, like 10 minutes ago or something. I was like, hang on, how are we that far in? Like, what were they doing with that movie? And anyway, so I'm pretty excited I'm pretty excited that we're getting a whole new rendition of that. I like that it's a period piece. That's exciting. But I don't know, man. Where are you at? Like, are you like at a 10 out of 10 hype for that movie?
The reason I bring it up is because I am very excited for it, because I do really like the Fantastic Four a lot as like characters. And like you said, the old movie I liked a lot. But also, maybe I don't know why it's come over me, but basically I brought it up just to get it on record that if Fantastic Four is ass, I'm gonna be so pissed. But if it's worse than Jurassic Park, if it's, because Superman impressed me, bro. Like, it really did. It really impressed me with how like upfront it was with all like the corny comic bookness of it, like the goofiness. And it just made me, I'm not gonna lie, like a big part of it was there was parts like whenever this isn't spoilers, Green Lantern would be like, I signed up for the Green Lantern Corps for this reason. Like, it made me want, like, you know, like maybe back in the day when you're watching other like old Avengers movies, you're like, oh, I want to know more about that. Like, I want to see the Green Lantern Corps. Like, I want to do that stuff. Like, I wanted more out of the movie. And if Fantastic Four is awful,
that would be spoilers of shit. So I won't ask that. But
if Fantastic Four does not make me feel good, I'm going to be so pissed. And bro, I don't care, bro. Marvel is going to be dead to me at that point, I think.
Dude, you're gonna lock in for, dude, everybody's locking in for Doomsday. Let's be real, bro.
Lock in is a crazy word, bro. I might hate watch, honestly, like, I'll be there, don't get me wrong, but if Fantastic Four is ass, I'm gonna be a hate watcher from now on. I think,
how many projects are we getting before Doomsday?
I don't even know.
Hang on,
I really only care about Fantastic Four.
How many MCU movies before, how many Marvel movies before Doomsday? Hang on. Let's see. I'm actually genuinely curious. Is it not going to tell me? Oh, damn it. It thinks I'm asking it, like, okay. Hang on. Let's see. Maybe this article will actually solve what I'm trying to figure out. Cause I just want to know, like, is it just Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and then we're into Doomsday? Cause if that's the case, then that's kind of cool. I think that's it. Hang on. Upcoming MCU movies. Maybe that's a better way to do it. Fantastic Four First Steps 2026. Yeah, dude, wait. So we're going from Fantastic Four into Spider-Man 4 into Doomsday. So I feel like Fantastic Four has to, hang on. Last question about this, or at least from my side. Do you think this whole interconnectedness of the MCU is becoming its downfall? I feel like that's a stupid question, because it's pretty obvious. But do you think that's part of like the problem?
I don't even think it's the interconnectedness. I just think it's the same like comic book mistake of like, you can't tell this many stories, or you can tell this many stories, but just, maybe you call this interconnectedness, but as soon as you bring like time travel, fucky wucky alternate realities into it, people check out immediately. You can only do it one time, and they did it, and now it's like ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah. They endgamed it, and then that was the big finale, and it felt good. And that's exactly it, bro. Like, everybody feels good. Nobody cares anymore. So I think now, like, Fantastic Four is exciting because it has nothing to do with any of that. It's just different.
Yeah, again, period piece for it is makes me so much more excited for it personally. And also, since it being announced and now I'm going to get to go watch it here in a couple weeks, I became a huge Stranger Things fan. And the dude that's playing Flame On is Eddie from Stranger Things, and he's awesome. So I'm pretty stoked about that as well. So also, I like the girl playing Invisible Woman, too. She's from several things that have been or I've like Hobbs and Shaw and Mission Impossible. So, anywho, Otto, we did a couple things today. Notice the Z rewatch. Unless you had anything else you wanted to add.
Nope, I'm all ready.
Okay, here we go. So today we watched two episodes. First off was New Ally, New Problem. This one specifically, they had a lot here from differences from the manga. But in this one, major events are the Genie Force intercept the trio of Vegeta, Gohan, and Krillin. And Gohan and Krillin prepare to fight Guldo. So it is a bit of a tease here because we do get their like iconic charge up sequence. And then the episode ends. There's just a lot of like setup from this episode. Really is ultimately all there was. But my God, look at the differences from the manga, Dotto.
I mean, it's multiple paragraphs, but it makes sense because, I mean, this is the Vegeta Goldo flashback, bro. That doesn't happen in the manga.
Does not.
This is like, it's establishing beef between two of the most iconic characters in the series, bro. Vegeta and Goldo.
Dude, when it started doing the flashback sequence, you were like, what? You're like, no way.
Because rewatching these episodes, I'm starting to realize like you have forgotten so much more than I have. But this was a moment that I completely forgot. Like, because as soon as they started talking, Goldo has a different reaction from everybody. He's like, Vegeta, I remember him. And there, honestly, the backstory is not even good. It's just Goldo passed Vegeta in the hallway and called him a monkey like 6 times. And then he was going to like throw hands.
And Frieza came up and teabagged them. Teabagged Goldo, sorry. Not Vegeta.
So yeah. Also, but one bit of added lore I do think is kind of like cringe in the anime. And maybe this is implied in the manga too. I don't know if this is listed here. But it's like Goldo was put on the Ginyu Force by Frieza. I don't like that. I would like it better if Ginyu was the guy that picked out the Force members. Maybe it doesn't work like that, but that's how I thought it was in my head
Captain
anyway.
Captain Ginyu, so.
Yeah, he's Captain Ginyu. He puts together the choreography. Like, why the fuck is Frieza putting Goldo on the Force?
Speaking of the choreography, differences from the manga here, we got the Ginyu's warm-up routine is expanded in the anime with an entire formation choreographed and involves them shouting while pumping their fists upon flying off. Much to Frieza's bemusement, the manga only showed them huddling around each other before immediately taking off and no reaction from Frieza being depicted. I'm glad they added. I kind of liked that they added that a lot, actually.
They were getting just turning it up, bro. I like that. Getting hyped for the game.
Gohan and Krillin refusing to give Vegeta the Dragon Ball before the Ginyu Force arrived is anime only. In the manga, the Ginyu Force arrived right after they arrived at Vegeta's hideout.
Whenever something is stupid, it's usually from the anime. I'm gonna be honest.
The Ginyu Force are shown to laugh at Vegeta's helplessness after sarcastically greeting him. Do they laugh for forever? I think I referred to them as like Beavis and Butthead over there because they just would not stop laughing when they block his path to remaining 5 Dragon Balls. And again, after Birder catches the 1-star Dragon Ball Vegeta attempted to throw away, neither of those instances was in the manga. Dude, they drew out to really show just how fast, because, you know, again, Birder is the fastest in the universe. They drew that out, like, so much in this episode. Like, it was a very drawn-out instance of Vegeta throwing this Dragon Ball for Birder to catch it and come back and stand in like, the spot he was just in. Like, I was
gonna be honest, though. I'm taking back what I said about the anime being stupid, because that part is cool.
That part was
pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, but they drew it out. It was holy crap. Ginyu's line about having to kill Vegeta first in response to the latter not intending to surrender his own 2 Dragon Balls is replaced with the anime with Guldo stepping up and sneering that Vegeta is helpless before them without Frieza protect him as a result of the addition of the history between both of them in the adaptation. As such, Krillin's musing on Guldo not being all that powerful compared to the other Ginyu Force members is moved to slightly later in the scene, and the villain's posture is completely different. They're getting granular today. Holy crap, dude.
They were cooking on here.
I think that's pretty much, these others are just kind of like, I don't know, just stuff that during the rock, paper, scissors showdown in the manga, Jason Birder are shown despondent that they were eliminated from fighting. This is not depicted in the anime where they plus Guldo and Raccoon continuously play until Raccoon wins it all. So, yeah, looks like what is this? During Guldo's flashback, Vegeta does not have his tail. This is due to the flashback using the design then being used in the present day story rather than his original design from the Vegeta saga, which featured a tail and skirt pads to his armor. We also have Goku's turtle school uniform with the Go kanji on both the front and back of his outer shirt makes its debut in this episode, though it also debuted in the Tree of Might, which was released theatrically in Japan 2 months before this episode premiered. And the funny dub, Goku implies that Dr. Brief created this new uniform instead of King Kai, which would make sense since Brief created Goku's whole spaceship. However, Goku doesn't say this in either the Japanese version or in Kai. It becomes his third and final Turtle School uniform with the kanji as his primary outfit.
I will say the Vegeta stuff, I did notice that he looked like the flashback did not look like old Vegeta at all.
No,
I did not realize it was because of the skirt pads and lack of tail, though.
But you also you specifically asked, like, where's Nappa in this flashback? You asked that.
And yeah, because I did realize it was old. I was just like, bro, like, he doesn't really look that like his old self.
All right, pulling up this, it looks like last week we gave Hidden Power a 6 and Bulma's Big Day, you gave it a 1. I gave it a 2. How you feeling? How you feeling on episode 62 this week?
And I'm the one saying it out loud. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna just give it like you know what? I'll say a 7. I'll say a 7 because I'm feeling pretty generous on this one.
Wow.
Is that too generous?
Well, here, can you see my screen?
Yeah.
I gave it a 5.
Ooh, I see.
I gave it a 5. We were a little bit different. We, you know, it's fine. Usually this is great because honestly, if you look through here, most of the time, I think it's either tied. Well, no, it's not actually. Never mind. You've been glazing the Namek Saga. You usually it is me with the highest score.
I'm a bit of a glazer, bro. But I'm out here.
You definitely glazed a little more than me today. Okay. All right, that brings us to episode 63, which was kind of a big one. This is Goldo's Mind Bends. Which the major things that happen here, holy cow, the recap is pretty insane. But Gohan and Krillin fight against Guldo, and then Vegeta kills Guldo after catching him off guard. I did not think he was dying here. I knew he died. I just didn't think it was going to happen in this episode. This caught me off guard.
You forgot all about this shit. I remember, honestly, a lot of the Ginyu stuff pretty good. Now it's going to come down to how much of this is Kai I'm remembering. But maybe the reason I remember this is I always wish just Gohan and Krillin were able to finish the job by themselves. Because they were beating his ass. They were chasing him down. They just couldn't finish the job. And then Vegeta gets the big finish, which is fine. But this stands out as still one of the coolest like episodes in my head. Just the imagery of them like firing beams, getting stopped in time.
I mean, dude, Goldo's like ability is probably one of the strongest in the entire like show, right? Being able to stop time is incredibly OP in this show.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a reason that he dies first. It's because that Toriyama did not want this guy alive when Goku was on screen.
I mean, it would be really strange to see a Goku that you just watched train for however many episodes be all of a sudden stopped midair by a power level of Goldo.
It would either be extremely unsatisfying or Goku would immediately break Goldo's ability, which might have been too much glaze, because then you're just immediately getting rid of Goldo anyway.
One thing I want to call out is that at one point when Gohan and Krillin are stuck, not from time freeze, but actually from his like mind bend thing, it flashes over to King Kai's planet where we see Piccolo like what appears to be charging up, puts like a crater in the ground. Breaks King Kai's like silverware, all this stuff. Anyway,
remember this, bro? Like, this is crazy. I'm surprised you remember that. It completely escaped my mind.
I thought that he was gonna do something to help Gohan out because I forgot that it was Vegeta that comes in and saves them, and so I thought he was about to do something. Like that's why.
Now that would have been looking out, bro. At that point, I would have had to join in on the jokes about Piccolo being his dad,
but. I'll go down the differences from the manga. The reason why that doesn't end up doing anything effectively in the fight is because Piccolo and King Kai, sensing that Gohan and Krillin are in trouble on Namek, is exclusive to the anime. So, of course, he couldn't actually do anything. But I did think, I was like, man, is he about to, I don't know, dude, some sort of remote? Because, like, King Kai even points out, like, it sucks that you can't do anything. And I thought Piccolo charges up, you know, has this whole swirl of energy coming into him. So I thought Piccolo was about to like prove King Kai wrong and do something that would help them. I don't know what it would have been, but I thought, man, I don't know. All right. Differences from the manga here. We got Burner, Jason, Raccoon make a bet on the result of Goodall's fight with Gohan and Krillin in the anime, whereas they do not do that in the manga. Bulma telephoning, dude, we yapped heavy over this, but you were right. Bulma telephoning Master Roshi and complaining about the current events is exclusive to the anime.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about that scene, bro. I'm talking over that 9 times out of 10, bro.
In the anime, when Guldo uses telekinesis on Gohan and Krillin, he first pelts them with rocks and physically beats them before attempting to impel them with the tree. In the manga, he only uses the tree, which makes sense because even I was like, well, this does like that really would do nothing.
It brought a tear to your eye. Honestly,
you're right. It did actually. Yeah, my contacts were hella messing up in that reaction.
All right, you don't have to try to hide it behind the contacts.
Golem was gonna die.
It's tough seeing your heroes in that predicament. I get it.
Raccoon, Barter, and Jace attempting a pose without Goldo and being disappointed at the result is exclusive to the anime. The whole time they were doing that, by the way, I'm like, you're literally missing one of your guys anyway, so it's already not gonna feel right. Like,
nah, I mean,
wait,
they're just doing shit to do it at this point.
Goldo's death scene is different in the manga and anime. His head rolls on the ground in both instances, but while Guldo's head is clearly shown sliced off by Vegeta from behind with a swipe of his hand in the manga, only a light beam is shown when Vegeta severs Guldo's head in the anime.
Ooh.
Okay. Dottie, you got us with the trivia here? We got two little pieces of trivia today.
You want me to read both of them?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. All right, trivia piece number one. In the original Japanese broadcast, the next episode preview for Dragon Ball Z, Bardock the Father of Goku, aired on October 17, 1990. The rerun version was the preview for the next normal episode, Raccoon Unleashed. Both versions of the preview are included in the Dragon Box.
Man.
I can go watch that. And the next one, honestly, that one was kind of boring. The original 2005 American airing of this episode only has Vic Mignogna voice birder for his first chuckle when monitoring Krillin and Gohan charging their initial attacks and is surprised at Goldo's decapitation. The majority of his dialogue is performed here by Savit, who would take over the character fully in the remastered editions.
Wow.
Birder's line when chastising Goldo, it's still not too late for you to kick you off the forest, is performed by Sonny Strait, Krillin's voice, which is retained in the remastered dub. So everybody on the cast can do Birder's voice, apparently.
Mignogna's utterances
were muted and redubbed respectively in the later version.
Huh.
So like chuckles, I guess? Okay.
That's really like getting to the nitty gritty of it all. There's a lot of recap on the again, as always, shout out the wiki. There's a ton of recap here. I don't feel like that much. Like, am I crazy for thinking a lot of this probably could have,
I mean, it's a lot of fighting, honestly. They're probably just describing the fighting.
That's fair. Dotto, how you feeling on this one though? I'll say you gotta hold up. I'll say this one.
I'm kind of glazing.
Bro, I was trying to figure out how much glaze.
Why not?
All right. Are you ready? Am I good? Can I say it?
Yeah. I already threw it out.
I'm gonna go with an 8 for this one. I actually really enjoyed this episode.
I went with 9.
Okay,
which is good. I wanted to be above you, bro.
Cool. Yeah. I was like, is he about to get? I thought we were about to get a 10 out of you, dog. I was like, is he about to give a 10? I mean, if you'll give Go on the Hunt at a 10, like, man, come on, you know.
No, I couldn't do it.
I'm saving my 9 and 10s for like what I know is coming up pretty soon, man. We're about to get to some crazy stuff, man. About to get to some crazy stuff. Guys, I feel like I can hear some music or something.
Hear the music? Oh, there it is. Wow. Oh my God, there it is.
Anyways, bye.